This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, the week is almost over. Put a gigantic smile on your face, and we are going to have so much fun tonight. We really, really are. We'll talk a little bit about all this calls for gun control after that Kansas City shooting. Yes, we're going to talk a little bit about that Fannie Willis trial going on right now in Georgia. Uh-oh, that's not looking good for the commies. The Navy's doing away with regulations. We'll discuss that actually here shortly. I'm gonna probably open with that. Well, whatever. I'll get to it at some point in time. I have a medical breakthrough that is pretty stunning, and I have a weight loss breakthrough, and I'm going to give you the tips. You've been trying to lose weight? I'll give you the ultimate tip on that here in a minute. The FBI, John Podesta. I might even do some phone calls next hour. Might have some fun with those. No more serious ones. All that's coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before I go any further and dig into Fannie Willis and regulations and Clarence Thomas and Mitch McConnell and everything else, I should probably, well, look, we got a lot of these today. Jesse, why is there only 1 hour of Wednesday's show uploaded? You're really taking the part-time host thing to heart. Please get on producer, Jewish producer Chris, a Jewish producer, to follow simple instructions. This one is, sadly, it's not on Chris. I only did an hour of last night's show, and then I had to leave. Remember the whole food poisoning thing we were talking about? Well, I have some great news for you. It's a weight loss thing. I lost 4 pounds in between yesterday morning and when I finally got some relief at about 11:30 last night. 4 pounds in one day. So if you're trying to cut weight, get to a bad Mexican restaurant, eat some day-old shrimp, boom, watch the pounds come off. So that's where I was. I'm back. I'm totally good today. It wasn't the flu. I'm not sick. I'm good. It was just a little food poisoning thing. All right, now let's get into many, 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 many things. One, let's talk about standards. Yes, I know the Fannie Willis stuff is a big story today, and that thankfully that's blowing up everything they're trying to do to Trump down in Florida, but or down in Georgia. Let's set that aside. I want to talk about standards. You've heard me talk a lot about police standards in big cities, and how eventually it's going to result in bad cops and corrupt cops. You've heard me talk about this with the NYPD endlessly, right? Good cops are retiring, or they're going to be cops somewhere else. They will not, well, they're not going to exist under this system. Headline: illegal alien let out on bail in NYPD beating case is arrested for violent crime. Dude beats up cops on camera. Alvin Bragg lets him right out of jail, goes back and commits more violent crime. Good cops are not going to stay around for that. They're going to retire. They're going to go be a cop in Texas somewhere or Florida somewhere. They're going to leave. Well, that means you still need cops. You still need new cops. There aren't enough good guys who want to be cops. So you're already seeing a lot of bad guys and girls who want to be cops. They're going to talk about the Navy here in a minute, but just stay with me. I was actually, you ever see that documentary? It's a very good documentary called Cocaine Cowboys. Not for kids, but it's a documentary. It's all about the cocaine trade in Miami in the 70s and 80s and how violent everything got. And the city itself, just stay with me, I'm going somewhere with this. The city itself eventually got overwhelmed by the violence and the murders. Just cities had not had to deal with things like that here in America. Daylight shootings, machine guns, 600 murders in 1 year. It was crazy. It was overwhelming the cops. And so they decided they needed to expand Miami PD. Hey, we need more cops. We need more cops, because the cops just couldn't keep up. There was nothing they could do. Only they had standards in Miami PD for drugs, especially for drugs. This is the case in many police precincts all across the country. Police precincts. What does that say? Law enforcement areas, whether it be sheriffs, cops, whatever. Drug standards. So at first it was, hey, you couldn't have used drugs within the last 10 years. And that didn't give them enough cops. So they wanted more cops. So they reduced it to 5 years. Eventually it got down to, well, I mean, you're not on them now, right? I'm not making this up. This is what they went through. How did that work out? Did they get all these new wonderful cops and cleaned up violent crime on the streets of Miami? No, you see, lowering standards never, ever, ever, ever works out. In one graduating class, get this, wrap your mind around how insane this is. Every single cop was either arrested or quit or was kicked out of the police for corruption. They started having cops who would carry out hits on drug dealers, cops dealing drugs themselves. You think you're adding by eliminating standards. You never add by eliminating standards, ever. Now, there's a headline. They've got no play. You probably haven't even heard about it today. I'm sure everyone else is talking about Fannie Willis and everything else. And we'll get to that. But new Navy regulation allows sailors to keep their hands in their pockets and wear false eyelashes. Okay, quick side note, ladies. The false eyelash thing is not good. I can't. Michael, Chris, can I get some backup on this? Do you tell me if you disagree with me? I think it looks awful. Ladies, your eyelashes look just fine the way they are. It looks like you're wearing feathers on your face. Just put those either way. Fake eyelashes and hands in pockets in the Navy. This is a disaster. And this is what's coming in our military now. The same thing the NYPD is going through, the same way, same thing Miami PD went through back in the 80s is coming for the United States military. The truth is they're not making their recruiting goals. The truth is American men and women, young men and women, many of them simply don't qualify for the military. They're on antidepressants. They're gone. They're too fat. They're too this. They're too that. They're gone. They don't qualify for the military. The good people, many, many of the good people, the patriots out there who love the country, who have values, they don't want to join. They won't fight for a rainbow military, and so they're not joining. And so to bridge the gap of the poor recruiting numbers, the standards are going down, and we are going to suffer insanely because of it. Have you ever heard of Westmoreland's 100,000? Never heard of that? Westmoreland was every Vietnam guy listening right now knows exactly what I'm talking about. They're probably just punched the radio. Sorry, fellas, I'll get past this in a second. Westmoreland was the big cheese, the general in charge over there in Vietnam, decided we needed a whole lot more troops over there. Well, what were we going to do? How were we going to get those troops? Well, they started the draft. Obviously, the draft started in Vietnam. How did it go from there? Mass drug dealing, crimes, flat out gangbangers filling up the ranks of the army. Go talk to a Vietnam guy about how it was once they started putting the draft in, standards eliminated, bring them all in. The military turned for a while into a bunch of gangsters. This is what we're going through right now across the country in many different ways, and it's really, really bad. And I had to get that off my chest. It matters a lot. We have so much more we have to get to. We have to get to the government being against us, and we have to talk first and foremost about communist tactics when it comes to guns and shooting, really when it comes to everything. So let's have a chat. The big story from yesterday was the Kansas City Chiefs had won the Super Bowl and they were going to have a Super Bowl parade, or they did have a Super Bowl parade. It's a big party. Everyone floods the streets. I don't know. I've never been to one. I don't care about the Chiefs or any of this stuff. But it's a big party, and people who are into it have a good time. You flood the streets, you celebrate, I'm a team, you have a beer with your boys, and there's a shooting. And the responses to the shooting yesterday have some people up in arms. Let's have a talk about why the communist talks the way he talks, why he does the things he does. Understand this, though, and we have to always come at this from this perspective. Until you get this, everything else will confuse you. The communist does not share your value system. He is as different from you as a giraffe is from a fish. He's like a completely different species. When there is any kind of tragedy, and I'm not just talking about shooting, any kind of tragedy that involves pain and loss of life, it tugs at you. Even if you're one of the hardened dudes who listen, it bums you out, right? It hurts. Oh man, they shot a kid. This explosion, it hurts. The communist doesn't feel that. He's not even capable of feeling that. He's an anti-human. Human suffering means nothing to him. In fact, he loves it. So let's talk about what they do, why they do what they do. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, and I need to remind you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So once again, you need to get your questions emailed in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All 3 hours dedicated to you. Whatever you ask me, you can ask me anything. I don't care. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, let's go back to talk about communist tactics, mass shootings, tragedy. Again, I want to emphasize something. The communist does not feel empathy the way you feel empathy. He is a destroyer. He is an anti-human. He doesn't see any loss of life and have it tug at him. In the wake of this shooting in Kansas City, what happened was something that has happened 1,000 times before. Like, we got this email, oh great, Oracle, I have yet to see pictures of those responsible for yesterday's Super Bowl rally. Is it possible they're not white supremacists? Well, we all know how this goes. As soon as there is a shooting, the American communist immediately begins plotting. He doesn't begin crying. He doesn't begin praying. He's not trying to fix anything. He's plotting. His first priority and only priority is the destruction of his enemies, no matter what happened. So immediately he's going to try to figure out who the shooters are. If it's some white dudes, oh, it's going to be headline news. You'll see their faces everywhere. If it happens to be, and it's reportedly an illegal immigrant was one of them, they're going to bury it and make it about gun control. But why do they do this? They do this because they're strategic, and because they don't feel what you feel. What I see the right doing, what we need to stop doing, is we try to justify ourselves to them. We try to point things out. It was stopped by a good guy with a gun. No, haven't you seen the gun laws? No, this was a gang shooting. You're explaining something to someone who doesn't care about your explanation. The communist tries to grab your guns in the wake of a mass shooting because he knows you are emotional and he is not emotional, and he understands that in your emotional state, it gives him the opportunity to do what he's always wanted to do, disarm you so he can hurt you. The communist loves gun control, not because he cares about shootings, not because he cares about crime, not because he cares about anything, nothing when it comes to human suffering and human lives. The communist wants to hurt you. The only failure of the American communist, the only failure to this point in time, in the year of our Lord 2024 in the United States of America, the only thing he has failed on is disarming you. He has succeeded in virtually every other part of his agenda in this country, from cultural, economic, the border, everything. It's been win after win after win after win after win, but there is one thing that he's never been able to accomplish, and it's critical for him to accomplish it before he can achieve his ultimate goal, which is total control and domination of you. He must disarm you. He knows he has not. They look at the guns in America. And they're horrified by them, not because of a shooting in Kansas City or a school shooting here. They're horrified by the amount of guns in this country because they know they can't hurt you at their leisure. Your liberal Aunt Peggy. I know this is hard because she's your Aunt Peggy. She didn't shed a single tear about anyone shot in Kansas City. The reason she ran to Facebook right after and started blaming the guns is liberal Aunt Peggy is a violent human being who wants to hurt her enemies, and her enemies are armed, and she hates it. Look, in the end, every issue, no matter what it is just about communism. It's never about what they tell you it's about. The issue is never what they say. All they care about is destruction and death and misery and bringing that religion of destruction, death, and misery to the world. Look, here's a great example, actually. Here's a headline. This is from Newsweek. Clarence Thomas is not a black hero. He's an enemy of black people. Clarence Thomas is, by any account, one of the most accomplished human beings of any color I've ever known in my life. A national treasure. Why would somebody write an article like this? Why would you write an article like that? Because this author doesn't care about black people. The author cares about communism. Above all, the LGBTQ person.
Why are you gay?
It's not that they want everybody to be gay. They want everybody to be destroyed, the activist, the black activist. Not that they want things to be equal and better for black people. They want everything to be destroyed. The climate activist, same thing. The issue is never the issue. In the end, it's all about destroying you. And they understand, the communist understands this so well, and the American right somehow still does not, which is why I'm going on another rant about this once again. The communist doesn't feel what you feel. You feel empathy. You feel tugs in your heart. You see death and you think about, oh my gosh, his poor mom and that poor child and that poor... The communist doesn't think about that at all. It doesn't even enter his mind. Why would he? He doesn't care about people. An anti-human's not going to stress about a shooting. That's why the lamest thing in the world for me is when the right holds up crime statistics. Well, actually, the truth is that gun control doesn't work because in New York City, they have a lot of violent crime and they have strict gun laws. See, communists, gun control doesn't work. The communist knows it doesn't work. He doesn't care about that. He uses your emotions to hurt you, period. Stop letting him do it. All right. Now, let's do deal quickly. With this Fani Willis corruption story in Georgia, this is a really good thing. It's a very good thing that happened today. We'll talk about it in a moment. Before we talk about that, let's talk about getting ourselves some financial protection, because that's something that you don't think about when it comes to preparing for hard times. And we do need to prepare for hard times. We do. This is Janet Yellen. Do these people sound like they're interested in saving the monetary system?
Are you and President Biden happy with where inflation is right now?
Well, look, we know that Americans are experiencing discomfort because some important prices are higher than they were pre-pandemic. But what I think is really important is that wages have gone up along with prices.
Get some gold in your hands. Or silver in your hands. Oxford Gold Group will get things in your hands that Janet Yellen cannot destroy. They'll get it in your retirement account as well. You might qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals right now. Call 833-995-GOLD or go to oxfordgoldgroup.com/free. Go now.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, and it is such an awesome day today. Listen, what happened in Georgia today is a good thing. Now, in case you're a little behind the eight ball, here's the deal. Fulton County, Georgia, their DA is a dirty communist hag named Fannie Willis. I think they call it Fonny, but I don't like that. I enjoy saying the word Fanny. It sounds really old-timey. What, Chris? That's a great word. Anyway, so that's what I'm going to call her, is Fannie Willis. Fannie Willis is, of course, a communist. Fannie Willis, like all communists do, she wants a better seat at the Central Committee. Remember, that's all. The communists are ambitious, too. And the best way to get yourself a better seat on the Communist Central Committee currently is to go after Donald Trump. So she used her position of power to come up with, honestly, the most insane legal stuff you've ever seen in your life. They're charging him with RICO. It's for mob bosses and drug cartels, and they're trying to look. Okay, it's ridiculous on its face. Now, maybe you're sitting there right now saying, "Jesse, who cares? I hate Trump. Forget Trump." Anyway, let me pause on that for a moment. Let me talk to the Trump haters. Remember this: even if you hate Trump with the fire of a thousand suns, that's fine. I don't care. I don't like any of these people either. It doesn't matter to me. The legal destruction of a Republican running for president is the kind of thing that you probably can't come back from. You know how I've been told and I've been predicting for the longest time that I think they're going to send him to prison before the election. And that may be out the window now because of all this, praise God. But that's the kind of thing you don't come back from as a nation. And I don't know what that would mean, right? I don't know what the response would be. I don't know what the fallout would be, but it's all bad. I don't care if you despise Donald Trump. Legally persecuting a man just because he's running for president is not something you recover from as a country. This stuff is damaging. It's awful for the nation. What's happening is so bad for the country, all right? So she wages war against Trump. Okay. And to be honest, because it's Fulton County, Georgia, Trump was in very serious trouble there. Not because the charges are legitimate, because it's, you know, it's a 70%, 75% blue county. That's one. So imagine the jury pool. Two, in Georgia, the way their laws work is, let's say he gets convicted, and he very well might be at a trial in Fulton County, Georgia. He doesn't get to appeal and go back to Mar-a-Lago or hit up South Carolina for a campaign rally. In Georgia, when you're convicted, you go right to prison, pal. Oh, you can appeal from prison. Donald Trump in an orange jumpsuit at a supermax prison in the state of Georgia is not outside of the realm of possibility because of this trial. I know that's nuts, but that's the reality of it. Well, turns out Fannie Willis has a bit of a problem. You see, she ran for office and tried to brag about how she was a reformer and she was going to do things
differently than the last one. This was her in 2020.
Because they deserve a DA that won't have sex with his employees. Because they deserve a DA that won't put money in their own pocket when it should go to benefit children. Because we deserve better.
That's how it started. Here's how it's going. Here's how it's going. Here's her lover and the special prosecutor she appointed to go after Trump. Nathan Wade is his name. At least she got rid of that guy who was having relationships with his employees and taking money.
You said in the affidavit that you roughly shared travel, though, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So this roughly sharing travel, you're saying she reimbursed you?
She did.
And where did you deposit the money she reimbursed you?
It was cash. She didn't give me checks.
So she paid you cash for her share of all these vacations?
Mr. Schaefer, you'll step out if you do that again.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so all of the vacations that she took, she paid you cash for?
Yes, ma'am.
And you purchased all of these vacations on your business credit card, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you included those in deductions on your taxes, correct?
No, ma'am.
No, you did not.
Okay, there's a lot we can get to here, but I don't want to bore you with something you already know. That's either a lie or it's even worse than that, and here's what I mean. Fannie Willis doesn't have thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in cash to reimburse her lover. She doesn't. Hopefully. If she does, if he's telling the truth there, and she has gobs and gobs and gobs of cash, then she has more illegal things going on than just using taxpayer funds to go to Belize with the guy she's having an affair with.
The first trip is Belize in March 2023. Is that a trip that you took with Miss Willis?
Are you asking?
Did you take a trip with Miss Willis in 2023 to Belize?
I did.
Did you take a trip to California with Miss Willis in 2023?
I did.
Did you pay for those trips on that credit card?
I used the credit card to book the travel, but understand.
She paid you back cash.
Well, let me say this. Let's take the Belize trip, for example, since you started there. That was a birthday gift to me, so I paid nothing for that trip. Zero.
Okay. So the charges that are on your card, she gave you cash for?
She did.
Okay.
Traveling with her is a task. You can probably imagine the attention that happens. So for safety reasons, she would limit her transactions.
Yeah. Look, the overall story here is that her corruption, she's obviously very, very corrupt. There was clearly not just, we're not talking shady things. There's criminal activity very obviously going on in the DA's office in Georgia. And the truth is the destruction of Fannie Willis because of her corruption could very well save Donald Trump's bacon in Fulton County, Georgia. And that's a good thing for the country. It really is. It's a good thing for the country. And Chris, do you have that clip of her? There's all kinds of audio of Fannie Willis out there today getting defiant on the stand, not looking or sounding the best. Here's a little sample of it.
When the state was
able to ask followers. It's highly offensive when someone lies on you, and it's highly offensive when they try to implicate that you slept with somebody the first day you met with them, and I take exception to it.
All right, well, Ms. Willis, she'll be on.
It's highly offensive. You know, there's a story out there. I'm not changing the subject. Just stay with me. There's a story out there about Joe Biden. Remember how the special counsel met with Joe Biden, and it came up that Biden didn't remember the year his son died? And then Biden blasted away at the special counsel. How could you bring that up? Well, NBC is even talking about, well, here it is.
President Biden became heated, you'll remember, responding to the special counsel's assertion that he could not remember within several years when his son Beau died. Last week, the president criticized her for asking him about it.
How in the hell dare he raise that? Frankly, when I was asked the question, I thought to myself, it wasn't any of their damn business.
But tonight, NBC News has learned that Her never asked that question, according to two people familiar with the interview last fall. They say it was the president, not her or his team, who first introduced Beau Biden's death. The sources say the president got the date, May 30th, correct, but not the year.
So how's that comparable? What's What's the similarity between Fonnie Willis acting offended and Joe Biden bringing up Beau Biden unprompted in an interview? Let's talk about that connection next, because there's something bigger here. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you again that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All 3 hours are about you. Now, that Fannie Willis clip we played for, in case you're just joining us, maybe you're arriving a little late to the Jesse Kelly Show. She had a rough day on the stand today, snapping, snotty, doing the "I'm so offended" routine.
On when the state was,
it's highly offensive when someone lies on you, and it's highly offensive when they try to implicate that you slept with somebody the first day you met with them, and I take exception to it.
She's outraged. I'm offensive. It's offensive to me. You know how much I love that word and how much I love people using it as outrage. But the Biden thing, Biden doing what he does with his dead son, is identical to what Fannie Willis has done for the same reason. The truth is this: Fannie Willis has risen to her position of power, and DA of Fulton County, Georgia, is a powerful, powerful position. She has risen to that position in large part by doing the "I'm the offended black woman" routine. That routine has become such a part of her life that now she doesn't even think about it. It's simply a reflex. When she's attacked, "I'm offended. You're attacking me for being black." It's become who she is. That's the same reason Joe Biden, despite all the outrage every time he does it, that's why he brings up his son, Beau Biden, whenever he gets in an uncomfortable situation or finds himself in a bind. Since the day Beau Biden died, Joe Biden has used it as a political weapon, a political shield. And now it doesn't matter how much you or I yell about it. It doesn't matter how despicable it is. It's simply a reflex. He doesn't even think about it. I'm going to play this NBC clip one more time for you. Joe Biden sitting down with a special counsel. This is a big deal. The special counsel, as Joe Biden is sitting down with him, could very well choose to charge Joe Biden with the felonies he committed by keeping classified documents. Joe Biden, I'm sure, got nervous, started shifting around, it got uncomfortable, and then, just like it was an instinct, a reflex, Beau Biden comes up out of nowhere.
President Biden became heated, you'll remember, responding to the special counsel's assertion that he could not remember within several years when his son Beau died. Last week, the president criticized her for asking him about it.
How in the hell dare he raise that? Frankly, when I was asked the question, I thought to myself, it wasn't any of their damn business.
But tonight, NBC News has learned that her never asked that question, according to two people familiar with the interview last fall. They say it was the president, not her or his team, who first introduced Beau Biden's death. The sources say the president got the date, May 30th, correct, but not the year.
Look, I don't even have to be there. You can picture it, can't you? Joe Biden sitting there having to answer questions under oath. Things get a little uncomfortable. His dementia brain now only makes him capable of about four or five different sayings. And for Joe Biden, it's just instinct. When you get in trouble, when it gets uncomfortable, when you meet a Gold Star family who just lost their son, when you're sitting in a deposition, you bring up Beau. It's gross. It's very, very gross. It is. It's honestly, it's one of the more despicable things I've seen in politics, because what's more tragic and awful than outliving your children? It's something every parent on the planet dreads. The thought of it makes me want to vomit. As I've told you before, if I lost one of my buddies, I would just die. I would just die of heartbreak right there. To lose one of your buddies and then use that is so gross. It's so wrong. But it's all he's ever known. It's the exact same thing Fannie Willis is doing in Georgia. Will it be effective? I don't know. Look, What happened today, and I'm not going to go over this anymore. There's so much I want to get to. There's actually a medical breakthrough we're going to get to in a second. Probably going to have some fun Valentine's Day calls next hour. We're going to talk about the government kind of turning on us a bit and what's happening there. So there's a lot I want to get to, but it was a good day today because of what happened in Fulton County. A very, very good day. Put a smile on your face. It was a good day for the country. For the country. Whether you're a Trump super fan or a Trump hater, it doesn't matter. What happened today, having this case potentially blow up, is a good thing. Because if the government, if the various legal systems in New York City, Fulton County, D.C., if they move forward with legally destroying the president or former president of the United States, it's going to be very difficult to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. We may already be in a situation where that's not possible. That would basically seal us. All right. Now, I know you're probably excited right now for America, and you should be because of what happened today. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick up your Pure Talk phone, and I want you to call or text one person today and let them know that what happened in Fulton County, Georgia was good. And you don't have to worry about that call going through or the text going through because Pure Talk, it's not some fly-by-night cell phone company. They're on the same 5G network as the big guys. You don't sacrifice service. To be frank, my service has gotten better since I switched from T-Mobile. And I have to send them a lot less money. They're not only patriotic, our bill got cut in half. A family of four cut in half. You know, they're giving out free brand new Samsung 5G smartphones right now. How's that screen of yours looking? A little busted? Phone slowing down? Go get a free phone. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly, switch to Pure Talk. All right. I promised you a medical breakthrough, something that I'm floored by. I'm absolutely floored by. And I don't have time to get into everything right now. Probably 5 minutes from now. Give me 5 or 10 minutes from now, and I'll tell you what. I'm going to open up next hour with a medical breakthrough that might change everything. I'm floored. What, Chris? I am. Let's get to a couple emails because tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we have to clean things out here. Remember, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Email me your questions. Jesse, my dad was a 17-year Korean War veteran. I was wondering if you could recommend any good books on the war. On Desperate Ground, there are many good Korean War books. The best I've ever read is by a guy named Hampton Sides. You know how much I love history and how much I hate commie history. I read everything Hampton Sides writes. Everything. When Hampton Sides writes a book, you read the book. He's got a book out. He's got a book out on Kit Carson right now that's really good. But his book on Desperate Ground is one of the best. It's the best Korean War book I've ever read. Chris, I don't know if it's on tape. Why can't you just read a friggin' book, Chris? What is so hard about reading a book when you're interested in the topic? You like this stuff. Why don't you read? What? You can't read in Mo. You can listen in Mo. Okay, all right. All right, That's fair, and I say that as somebody, look, people are listening and mowing right now to me. They're listening and working, they're listening and driving. I understand that, but don't you find something, I don't know, old-timey and cool about holding a book in your hands and reading it? Don't you have a comfy chair or a place in your house where you can sit down in the quiet for, look, it's not like I'm telling you got to be some kind of librarian here. 10 minutes at night, but while you're going to sleep instead of going to sleep, what? That's no interest at all. Nothing. That is wrong with you. You know, you have a baby girl now. You're not going to play her books on tape. You're going to have to read to her something, Chris. All right, you have to read her the Anti-Communist Manifesto, which can be purchased at jessekellybook.com. All right, a medical breakthrough and our government against us. Next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday,
normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.